Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, season 11, episode 286. That's like a processor, 286.
286,
there you go.
Baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Sanjay Park.
486, I'll be excited. I'm Adam Walker. And man, we have like oh my gosh, there's so many articles. We're going to fly through some of these, but it's important stuff for us to talk about. So we're at least going to mention it so you're informed and ready to go for, you know, all your week's tech news conversations as one has.
For your Friday water cooler tech conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
Do people actually hang out by water coolers anymore? Is that a thing?
I mean, I'm going to set one up in my kitchen, hoping I can just catch my kids at it. Like, that's going to be my goal.
So
like,
you
just
can chat with your kids at the water cooler?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Maybe by the water cooler.
I'm just going to awkwardly stand there and see if they come by and, hey, kids, and need some water.
We're being environmentally conscious by having a water cooler and not... Yeah. One-time use plastic water bottles.
That's
now.
Right. That's right. All right. Listen, I'll do the quick in this episode thing. In this episode, we're going to talk about some stupid stuff with Twitter, Apple, Uber's rolling out.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Stuff.
What you just said? Stupid stuff with Twitter.
Yeah.
Like that's the same thing.
We're going to talk about Twitter. Also,
it's not an oxymoron. It's repetitive.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Georgia Department of Driver Services doing some cool stuff. We're going to an update on Theranos CEO Elizabeth Holmes. We're going to talk about the fake Pentagon attack hoax. It was all over stupid Twitter earlier this week. AT&T, the college kid that tracks. I mean, we got so much. Let's dive in.
You did it again. Stupid Twitter. Yeah. I mean, it's the.
Well, I mean,
highlighting.
It just comes out that way. Like I don't even mean to say it.
But you can just say Twitter and it's just the stupid part.
I know,
part
but
is
my
assumed.
Brain adds the stupid automatically. Like it's just what. Anyway. All right. Number one and one that we won't belabor too much, but it is news. So we're going to mention it. Ron DeSantis will launch his presidential bid with Elon Musk. Apparently, it's going to happen today, Wednesday, the day we're recording and releasing this episode. It's going to happen on Twitter Spaces. And the only thing I have to say about this is that this is absolutely a stunt where a politician is trying to piggyback off of what they consider to be a respected CEO that Sanjay and I don't consider to be a respected CEO. Yep. And they're doing it on a platform that is all but dead. So
well, and a platform that used to be the main platform for his chief rival. So that's another thing.
Also true.
And I will say, so I've seen some comments about this article in particular and some others like this that have this phrasing as a headline, which makes it really hard to understand what's happening unless you actually understand what's happening. So it says Ron DeSantis will launch his presidential bid with Elon Musk. Does that mean Ron DeSantis is using Elon Musk as his vice president for his presidential bid?
You know, like,
or is he doing it with Elon Musk?
In all fairness, like that would be the craziest thing ever. And I could see it. I could see Elon doing it. I really could. Like I could totally see it happening. So I don't.
So like anyway. The word phrasing on this headline is not great.
Yeah. No, it's not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
I mean, like you should have said like Ron DeSantis joins Elon Musk to announce his presidential bid. But then does that mean Elon Musk?
This is bad. You're digging in the weeds here.
Probably should have just said on Twitter Spaces. But let's move on to other people. Apple has just dropped an unbelievable new iPhone feature like it's no big deal. Have you set this up on your iPhone yet?
I have not. Okay. It's unbelievable. It's also scary. So do you want to describe it or should I?
I'll describe it. So basically what it is a tool. It's called Personal Voice that will take a mere 15 minutes of training and you will train on your voice and then you can make it sound like you and say things like you.
Can make it say things in your voice.
In your voice, They talk about some use cases here and it's like, okay, that actually is useful and makes
sense. People that are losing their voice with ALS. I mean, like, I think of like, there's this reporter out of, I forget his name all of a sudden, but I used to follow him for years and years and years. This really well-known DC coverage reporter out of Atlanta. And he lost his voice and had to go to using a computer generated voice for himself because he had some medical issue and just completely lost his voice. So like for people like him, like this would be amazing.
The classic example of that is that we all know Stephen Hawking when he was alive. He had that little robotic voice thingy.
Yeah.
Imagine if he was able to capture. Is that a capture? I guess
his original voice.
His original voice and train this. Then he would have been able to type in his own voice.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool. It could easily be used for bad things, but that's true with all the stuff, right? Like, so right. It's cool. I mean, it's like Photoshop in the 90s, man. That's really cool. It could be used for nefarious purposes. And yet it has been many, many times.
Yeah, over. It's funny. I get that question sometimes, too, just because of the things that I've built in the past and how people are like, wait, but it's used for these. I'm like, yeah, it is used for these bad things. That's not what I intended.
But it's used for so many good things. Yeah.
I developed it for something really, really good. And then inevitably people use it for bad things. Right. And I'm not a fan of those bad things. So,
well, speaking of, I think maybe good things and also slightly scary things, Uber rolls out updates, including a way for teens to book rides. So Uber actually updated, like there's actually a lot of updates that rolled out recently. So I want to make sure to do this. And I also want to mention, I released a deep dive on this article as a paid subscriber episode this week, the day that it came out. So you're getting this episode a few days after it came out because we only record this podcast once a week, but I did release an episode for paid subscribers the day it came out. So a couple quick things. You'll be able to get an Uber with a car seat, which is awesome and really important. You'll be able to call an Uber, like actually calling it, like on a phone number and call an Uber, which is also really important because not everybody has, you know, access to a smartphone or whatever else, or maybe the smartphone's dead or whatever else.
Well, and we talked about like an episode or two ago about people going to flip phones. And so now it's like,
yeah, in that case, perfect. Yeah,
it could
be great for that. They've got family profiles with teen accounts. So Uber drivers have to have like a certain score, a certain rating. And if they qualify, then they will qualify to also be able to be trusted enough to drive teens, which is kind of cool for parents that are, you know, overworked, got a lot of stuff going on. Maybe you need a last minute pickup and you didn't expect it. Like, could be really great. I don't know that I'll be using it, but I love the concept at least. Grocery orders, group rides, and apparently video gift messaging, which seems really weird to me. So
that's a weird add-on.
Well, I think that's for Uber Eats. You can record a personalized in-app video message when you send a gift, send it as a gift to a friend. So if you're going to send in some chicken soup, you can send it with a video of you, I guess, at the same time, which is kind of.
I got to say, I don't use Uber that often, and it's probably been years since I've used it, but I just recently, this last weekend, used it because I was traveling, and I had probably one of the best experiences I've ever had on Uber. And it was, so I got picked up in a Tesla Model Y, I don't know, the sedan looking things. I think, I don't know. First of all, I had a hard time even getting in the car because I'm not used to how the handles and things work on Tesla. And it took me a second. I told the guy, I was like, sorry, I'm not used to these Tesla things. But this guy was just basically doing it for a little side thing because his normal gig, he lives in Dubai. This was in Hartford, Connecticut that he drove me around. And he's got a lumber company and he's back here in the US because his son is off from college and he's going to be there for 2 weeks. And he was like, I had nothing else to do. So I'm doing this for just giggles, basically.
Random. Okay.
And I had such a great conversation with this guy. He was such a nice guy. And it's like, man, if you had more people like this that were drivers that you could have these really interesting, fun conversations with, like we literally chatted the whole way and kept chatting for a couple minutes after he dropped me off just because he was such a nice guy. So
That's great.
Uber, you know, they're spending a lot of time on things like this, man. If they could get recruiting a little bit better and get people like that all the time,
that'd be great.
They would blow up the business. And one way they could do that is by not making people carry around their driver's license, maybe. I don't know. that has nothing to do with this. But
no,
fascinating for you Georgia listeners. Georgia Department of Driver Services has launched Georgia Digital Driver's License and ID. But unfortunately for us Android users, it's only an Apple Wallet. Hopefully it'll come to Android as well. But you can basically add your license into Apple's wallet, and then that is usable as a legal ID. So if you want to go to the airport, you can actually show that as your ID. So it's synced up, I guess, somehow, whatever, with TSA.
Yeah, and apparently you can use. So I started the process this morning. So first of all, so you have to go into the app, you scan in both sides of your ID,
okay,
and then it actually uploads to the Georgia Department of Driver Services, and I guess they have to approve it. So you scan it both sides and then you have to take a picture of yourself and then you have to do some other things to verify that it's actually you, like it looking at your face and different things. And so it's not like an instant approval. It goes through an approval process.
Okay.
But then apparently like you'll be able to use it like on your Apple Watch and on your phone, which is like really weird to me. It's like show me your ID and you like pull out your Apple Watch. Like, I don't know how that's going to work, but like, that's,
I mean,
apparently a thing. So I don't know. It's going to be awesome, I guess.
I mean, I guess it's good, right? If you lose your phone, then at least you still have your watch. It's less likely you're going to lose your watch.
Yeah.
Because it's strapped to you. Maybe that's the thing we need to do with phones. Strap them to us so we don't lose them.
There is that. But I mean, I will say like, it is kind of exciting to me because like, this means this summer, like I can walk out the door to go to the pool, like let's say with the family, and literally like as long as my phone's got a good charge, just take my phone. Like I don't need anything else at all. Like that's a whole different thing. Like I've never done that in my whole life before, you know, not been able to go out without a wallet. So
yeah, I gotta say, I don't know about your pool, but our pool, you have to have a card key for that. It would be really nice if you could use your phone as the unlocky thing for the pool.
We have a key fob, so it's just as bad.
Yeah.
So,
you know, but wouldn't it? Same thing. Like, why don't they do that for those things?
I don't know.
Some of these HOAs need to get up on. I'm going to make that suggestion. Like, hey.
You should do that. Make them do it right now. Like, hey, guys.
I have a feeling it's never going to happen.
Speaking of things that we thought was never going to happen, ESPN plans to stream flagship channel, eyeing cable TV's demise. So what this means is, you know, like ESPN Plus came out a while ago. We're like, oh, good, we can stream ESPN, we can get games. No, no, you can't get games. ESPN Plus has garbage on it. It doesn't actually have all the games on it. It's like the only way to see all the games is still to have a stupid subscription to some TV service, which is ridiculous. And so this is, and that's largely been because ESPN gets paid a ton of money by these, you know, cable TV companies in order to stream their games. So they're going to actually make a streaming app that is a flagship service that I think really will completely destroy cable at that point. It'll all be subscription-based at that point from then on.
That said about ESPN Plus, I got to make a recommendation about a sport that we stumbled upon and we're like, what is this? Why has nobody ever told us about this? So it's a game called Kabaddi. And it's an Indian.
Say that again.
Kabaddi. K-A-B-A-D-I.
Kabaddi.
It's on ESPN Plus, like the streaming thingy. It's an Indian sport. Okay. I'm using that. It's a lot of chaos.
Okay.
And there's a ball and there's two teams. I haven't totally figured out all of the rules yet.
Yeah.
But the icing on the cake is the announcers for this sport.
Yeah.
They like you can listen to it in Hindi, which they're very excitable there, but you can also listen to it in English, and man, they are really excitable in English as well. So, check it out. They have live streams of that as well. And then old ones. And I've got a team to root for just because we're Gujarati and there's a Gujarat. I think it's the Gujarat Jaguars.
Nice.
So, you know, I can root for them. I know nothing about the game. So
I love it.
I think they're doing some interesting things on ESPN. I got to say.
So you're going to be like, go Jaguars is what I'm like.
Go like, Gujarat Jaguars.
And you're like, no, not Jacksonville. Come on, man.
And you know, speaking about Indian sports, I just saw this the other day that they are launching a cricket league here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Cricket pros or something like that next year. So I have a feeling that is going to be big.
I just want to say to you right now that you need to be prepared for the Go Jaguars memes from The Good Place to come your way. Like, oh my gosh, like we are about to freaking flood Slack with that stuff for you.
I'm going to have to make sure that that's actually the team name because I haven't actually watched Kabaddi.
It doesn't
in a
matter
while.
Now. You've said the words. You've said that you root for the Jaguars and that's all that actually matters. So, all right, moving on. What do I have next?
Yeah, so, hey, when you're driving around, we should have had this before with the other driving stuff, but when you're driving around and you need a dash cam, but you don't have a dash cam, what do you do?
Yep.
You've got this fancy phone. Well, Google's got your back. Google will now soon let Pixel phones double as dash cams, which this is super smart because I don't know about you if you've got a dash. I've installed one in one of our cars.
I probably should. Yeah.
And the camera, and I installed one. I went through the whole hassle and I did a front facing and a rear facing
one.
Yeah,
you ran the wire.
I ran the wire. I opened up stuff and I did the whole thing.
Yeah.
The camera's actually still not that great compared to a phone. And this makes a lot of sense. And so I think they'll even let you record inside the car as well because there's two cameras with this.
Makes sense.
So I think the key is though, you have to have a mount that that works.
Yeah,
this
up high enough. Yeah. So I will say, I follow an account on Instagram called Crash Dashes, and it's nothing but, dude, you need to follow this account. It's nothing but crashes from a dash cam. And like, I tell you, it really kind of jades your driving, because now I'll be driving through an intersection, I'm just like looking, like who's going to run the light and crash into me. Like, I'm just like all the time, just looking. Like, it is like some of the crashes that are caught on these dash cams are wild. So just absolutely wild.
I don't know if you know this site, it doesn't exist anymore, but I think it was like the first one in this kind of series of websites about dash cams. So there was a website called the Atlanta Road Digest. TardSite.com is, I think, what the URL was. The Atlanta Road Digest. So this was some guy, I don't know who it was. It would actually be fascinating to find out who this person was and like talk to them and interview them about this. But he had a dash cam or like a camera set up on his car and just driving to work and wherever in Atlanta, and just like the crazy things. And like, you've seen some of the crazy things around Atlanta and Georgia. There's actually an Instagram account. What is it, like Georgia followers or something like that? That shows, like, I saw just the other day, they had a picture of a car, like video, and there was a full family in there. And the kid in the back, I even had pajamas on. There were no doors on the car. Like, it was like a van, and doors were gone, and they were on the highway.
Oh, that's not good. That's bad news.
Yeah, dash cams have really definitely opened up our visibility in some of this stuff.
Well, next up, WhatsApp finally lets you fix typos in sent messages. So this is going to work very similarly to like that kind of unsend email. Like, you know how it is, like you type an email, you hit send, and then suddenly you have this epiphany. Oh my gosh, I should never have sent that. I said this thing in there. And then you have like a certain number of seconds to, quote, unsend it, really, which means it's just on a delayed send for like 5 seconds.
Right.
And you can undelay it, right? So I guess, WhatsApp is essentially going to do the same thing. It's going to give you a short window in order to edit your typos or your,
So it's not really unsend, but you can edit just like you can in Slack and other things.
Right.
And then your message is going to show that it said that it was edited.
Yeah.
So that, but people won't have access to the version history. Like, they won't be able to see the things that you changed, just that you changed. And you have it's a 15 minute window.
Oh, 15 minutes. Oh, that's much longer than I was thinking.
15 minute window to edit your things, which, I guess that makes sense. I don't know that I don't think
I can't imagine a scenario where I would care. Honestly, I really can't. Like, it just doesn't matter that much.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah. And last up before the break here, here's your first look at San Antonio's new esports gaming center. Did you look at this thing?
Dude, it looks crazy.
It's like insane.
Well, and it's inside of a Six Flags. So you have to pay admission to the park to get into the Six Flags. Then you pay $8 an hour, but then it goes down every other hour. Like, it's cheaper every hour you keep playing. But like, you're like, what's so crazy to me is like, you're going in there and you get to use these like super high performance machines, like these nice chairs, but you're basically playing games that are ultimately free to play anyway. So like, so you're going to pay, I mean, you're going to start by paying, what is it? $67. $77 to play a game that you could play at home for free, assuming you have a device to play it on, which maybe you don't. And maybe that's the difference.
But somebody made the comment that like, this is LAN parties all over again. Basically you're paying really to have everything networked very fast together.
Well, but I don't think it is local. I don't think it's played locally though. Like, you don't play Fortnite
that's
locally.
That's true.
Over
you
LAN.
Don't.
Like, you don't play Valorant over LAN. So literally, it's just an internet connection. Like, you're just getting in there to just play a game that you and I play on Xbox. So I mean, again, I think the benefit is for people that maybe don't have a system or something that can try these games out.
So can you not? Yeah, I guess you can't.
Unless they have some specific deal with Fortnite, which maybe they do. Like, maybe they got some like,
because then
very
it's weird to
deal.
Go to something like, hey, now, me and 10 of my friends, we want to play against each other on Fortnite.
Yeah,
I would. But are we just gonna randomly maybe get into the same game or not?
No, you'd never get into this. There's so many thoughts, but I think Valorant does have tournaments where they do play locally against each other. So maybe there are ways with some of these games, like backdoors or APIs or something like that. Maybe they've got deals.
Call of Duty, I think you can do that, right? You can set up.
Yeah, you're probably right. And so then, I think you're probably right.
Right,
yeah.
But does
so it's
all
going
the
back
data
to 90s LAN parties. I'm all about some 90s LAN parties.
But I think the data still goes back up to the cloud, doesn't it? It goes back up to the central server. So being on the same LAN doesn't really do anything. Like, LAN parties made
sense. It's just the fact you're in the same room.
Because
I think that's all it
yeah.
is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't have a setup at home for like 10 friends to come over to play.
So. Not yet. Not yet. You don't.
Not yet.
All right. Disgraced Theranos CEO Elizabeth Holmes must report to prison May the 30th. It's a quick update in case you didn't know. She did get sentenced to, I think, 11 years in prison. She has, since this whole thing started, had two children. She had one child after she was convicted, I believe, and she had another child after she was sentenced. So she has two children, and she's going to begin serving an 11-year sentence May 30th, which is, I mean, justice, I guess. I mean,
and also, by the way, this article title is wrong because now she has rebranded, and her name is Liz. Liz Holmes, not Elizabeth.
Now, with her new name being Liz, does she now talk in a normal octave, or does she still talk an octave
down? No, she got rid of the deep voice thing, too. That was part of the rebranding. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she's just normal. She just talks in a normal voice.
Yeah.
That must be a relief, because like I feel like if I had to go around talking like this all the time and like remember to talk like this all the time, like it would get really exhausting to just talk like lower somehow.
I think you should do the entire episode in that voice.
The rest
from
like,
now.
Of the episode like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
So...
Or we can just do it in post-production and change that. Like,
we'll just dial it down. Like anyway, so yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's the update. What's next?
Yeah. The next update is about the post office spying on your mail. The post office is spying on the mail and senators want to stop it.
My favorite is how this happens. Like all they have to do to get the post office to spy in the mail is send a written request. Like that's it. Like, hey, please spy on this person's mail and tell us all the things you can.
Tell
like,
us all right, the cool. things.
No,
yeah.
No problem. Got you covered.
Yeah. It's shockingly it's bad.
Like, and it's funny like tweeting an order at your dealer. It's like similar to that. It's like, hey, yeah, hook me up. Okay. I got you.
You know, like, you know, anyway. and this kind of fear has been since the beginning. It was Thomas Jefferson, right? That invented the post office. I feel like it was him.
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, yeah.
So I highlighted one little segment of this that I'm going to read out. Indeed, the senators say modern fears of postal abuse harken back to the founding fathers themselves, who decried what Thomas Jefferson called the infidelities of the post office. Surveillance that broadly forced those at odds with the British occupation to resort to encrypting messages they wish to keep private. These messages include the lawmaker's note, an early proposal for the Bill of Rights. So, yeah, let's not do this.
Seems like a bad idea.
And it actually then blends into the next article, if you want to introduce that one, and let's talk about them together.
Leaked government document shows Spain wants to ban end-to-end encryption, which this piggybacks on, we talked about this before, like governments continue to seek to get rid of end-to-end encryption because they say they're, quote, cracking down on objectionable, you know, terrible, like awful material on the internet.
Yeah.
But like, that's throwing out the baby with the bathwater, man. You can't get rid of privacy just because people are doing, like, that's like saying, like, okay, you can't have locks on your doors. We're going to come peek in your house anytime we want to because you might be doing bad stuff in there. Like, that's not how this works.
Well, no, you can have the locks, but we need to have a key and give us your security code for your security system at the same time.
And also, go ahead and set up an internal camera inside of every room of your house that we can just watch anytime we want because you might do something wrong in there.
Just in case. So. We're just watching out for you, right? Like, I mean, what if you fall down and you can't get up? Like,
let's
we'll
eliminate
that.
Freedoms for 100% of the population and privacy for 100% of the population, you know, based on the very small percentage that are doing nefarious things. You know, and, like, let's do that. Like, this seems like a terrible idea.
And we're not saying that doing wrong things is right. Like, no. Yeah, you should stop that. But
we're just saying privacy is right.
Yeah. Privacy is right, too. Mm-hmm. So, this is a little concerning. We were in Spain last year, and now I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to Spain.
Wonder how much footage of you got leaked to the internet you didn't know about. You were probably being spied on the whole time. They didn't even know.
Yeah. They were like, this guy's end-to-end encrypting. We need to watch him. So, something else we need to watch or not watch and realize it's not real. Fake Pentagon attack hoax shows perils of Twitter's paid verification. As if you already, I didn't say stupid Twitter there, but come on, stupid Twitter right there.
Yeah.
I really don't know why something like this. So in case you don't know what this was, listeners, somebody put together a image or a video of a supposed attack on the Pentagon that showed smoke. And this actually caused the stock market to dip for a little bit. It could be tied to a 25 basis point movement of the S&P 500.
Oh, yeah. Temporarily,
but the dip didn't last long. But why would you trust anything on Twitter at this point?
Well, I mean, like my favorite was like, okay, so now we've got a fake Twitter account called Bloomberg Feed with a blue check mark. So it seems verified and valid.
Uh-huh.
And you've got a very convincing looking, you know, smoke cloud in front of the Pentagon that looks real. And it like, of course, this is going to this is the new norm. Like this. Now, it's interesting. And I'm curious to see what you think about this. Like, I'm starting to wonder. I was talking to our buddy Mickey about this. Like, I'm starting to wonder if there's going to come a point where NFTs start to play a role in this stuff, where an image has to become an NFT and be verified when it's on a news site in order for you to like even trust that it's real. Because like it's so easy to fake this stuff now. Like we could fake literally anything almost instantly, put it out there on a semi-legit looking account, and people are going to buy into it every time. Like there's got to be something.
I don't know if that solves the problem. I think what is the solution is what has been said since almost the beginning of the internet is, okay, don't trust, don't believe anything you read on the internet. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that goes down to like that, like don't answer your phone and trust what anybody on the other end says. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're kind of entering into this stage in our society where you literally can't trust what you read. You can't trust what you hear. You can't trust what videos you watch and you see. You can't trust people calling you and believe who they say they are. Yep. Like we're coming into this phase where we've got to fully vet everything that we believe, and people aren't going to be willing to do that because our default is to believe something we're told. That's human nature. Like human nature's default is believe what you're told until proven otherwise. And it's going to play, it's going to be bad.
So, yeah.
Anyway, whatever. All right. Next up, is it my turn? It's my turn.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So Disney is closing ultra expensive Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even read this one. What is happening here? I'm so sad.
And I would add to this, and it's no one, it's not this host. This host is not surprised. So this hotel looks amazing. Okay. It looks amazing. But for a family of four, let's see, the price tag is $6,000.
Oh, I just saw that.
For a family of four.
Oh my God.
$6,000. How many families of four can afford or would be willing to spend $6,000 on a hotel? Like very, very, very few. And so like this is not like Disney's expensive and I get that, but they're still appealing to the masses. For whatever reason, they went down this rabbit hole of appealing to the ultra rich niche and it hasn't done well, shockingly. Like it's not, this isn't the right Disney thing. This isn't your shtick. Don't do it. So
yeah, this is, apparently they discounted this too. I'm looking at the article, man. I mean, it looks fantastic and the price point was probably run based on what it costs to actually build
and maintain
the place. Because I can't, looking at those pictures, it can't be cheap, right?
Oh no, it's good. It's incredibly expensive.
So I understand where the price point came from, but yeah, you should have toned that down a little bit because
can't do it, Disney. Can't do it. Can't be done.
And the problem is that they're all about, you know, just ridiculously extravagant experiences, which is what they're known for. And they do a great job of it, but I think that's just missed the mark. Something that's not missing the mark, hopefully. Google will disable third-party cookies for 1% of Chrome users in the first quarter of 2024. Finally,
which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a whole lot.
It
like
is a whole
1% of all Chrome users is a lot of people.
And this is their trial to start, and then eventually it'll roll out to everybody. Or you could just switch over to Firefox right now and you're good to
like
go.
Like we've done. Yeah. Love Firefox. It's the best.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So they say once it decides to fully deprecate third-party cookies, Google plans to go from 1% to 100% without any milestones in between. Though obviously there will be a ramp up. They're doing this 1% so that developers can get used to it and figure out like what is breaking on their sites because of this.
Right.
But really, you could just switch to Firefox.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Hyundai will pay $200 million after a TikTok challenge exposed a huge security flaw. So apparently there was a TikTok challenge where some TikTokers showed how you could basically use like a USB cable to hotwire a Hyundai without really having to do much of anything. And shockingly, after that was revealed, the stealing of that car became much more commonplace, which, you know, not surprising there. Also, I'll mention this. I thought I'd tagged an article about it, but somehow I didn't. But also, just so everybody knows, TikTok is also suing Montana. So Montana banned TikTok. Can't be in the app store for people in Montana come 2024, which I don't see how that's possible. And TikTok has now countersued Montana, saying it's against free speech, which I think they're likely to win, but I'm no legal expert, so what do I know?
Yeah, so I think you did tag this article because I read it as well. We just missed it in the show notes, but I think you're right. I think that TikTok has, or what is it? ByteDance is the
ByteDance is the owner.
The company.
Yeah.
So I think they have a legal argument here just because of what the Supreme Court did with Citizens United and saying that companies have unlimited free speech as well, or political speech, and so they can do that. And so this is government interference with what a company, and they can't say that it's like protecting people, right? Or kids or anything else like that, because it hasn't gone through like, you know, one of the departments that would deal with that kind of stuff. Like it's the mental health. Like they're just banning it because they think like, hey, bad stuff is happening. Well, and they're not the federal government. So like, that's not okay.
And they're banning it more specifically because of what they fear could happen, which is also like a little bit insane too. Like they're basically saying like, well, this could happen. The Chinese government could do this. But then, you know, ByteDance is working with Oracle to house all of the data from the US TikTok in the US so that China would not have immediate access to it the way that they claim it will. So like it's almost like saying like, we're gonna ban this app because we think it could be used for nefarious purposes. But the problem with that is you could do that about any number of apps, first of all. And secondly, like you don't, like you're banning something on a hunch, which also doesn't really make any sense. So anyway, I get the concern, but it doesn't seem legal to me.
Yeah, which, by the way, I think there was yet another article that didn't make it into our show notes.
Okay.
About Facebook getting fined $1 billion.
Yeah, they got fined a bunch by the EU.
By the EU. And that's because
violating data. They ported data back to the US from the EU, which is illegal.
Which is exactly the thing that you were talking about with TikTok.
Yeah.
And so
it's a proof case that you shouldn't do that. And so you'll get caught and it'll be bad.
They were moving all of these European citizens' data to the US for processing, which is against the law in Europe. Yep. And they have 6 months to correct this. But in the meantime, they're paying, what is it, $1.8 billion?
I thought it was 1.3, something like that. Yeah
it's with a B. It's a lot of money. I mean, for me and you, it's a lot of money. For them, it's I don't know.
It's a drop in the
like bucket. Eight minutes of turning off the lights or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. Somebody else that has an issue with other things and lights, not really lights, but AT&T has some concerns about Starlink and T-Mobile's satellite to cellular plans. So first of all, I did not know that T-Mobile had satellite to cellular plans.
I didn't know that either.
And I'm kind of glad I'm on T-Mobile, but I also don't like same. Starlink, but I don't know. I'm conflicted about all of this.
Same.
But AT&T is concerned, well, what they're saying they're concerned about is that how this might interfere with terrestrial signals. They don't AT&T want their towers to get goofed up because of this.
Let me translate this for you. Okay. This is AT&T going, oh crap, we're way behind now. Yep. We need to come up with some kind of fake complaint to slow these guys down.
Yeah.
Like that's all this is. This is a bunch of just like I don't even know what to call it.
It's oops, we's in trouble. Let's do something.
T-Mobile's been behind for a long time. We've had the bigger network, and now T-Mobile's going to have what? A satellite network? Oh no, they'll have perfect coverage. That's terrible. What will we do? What map will we show our customers? I don't know. So it's bad news. All right, last one up before Weird and Wacky. The college kid who tracks Elon Musk's jet is now doing the same thing for Ron DeSantis. So if you wanted to see where Ron DeSantis flies, you can go on stupid Twitter and you can see where the jet flies back and forth from. Not that I ever want to see that, but you can
find out where he's doing today's Twitter spaces from.
Yeah, apparently. That's true. You could at least find that out, which would be, I guess, entertaining.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable snowman. Oh, he's not an axe murderer. One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
First up in Weird and Wacky, what the beep? Diehards refuse to let go of their pagers.
Okay.
What the beep?
The best part of this article are the two different groups of people that are diehard about pagers.
Yep.
Okay. So like the first one is super easy to guess, right? It's doctors, medical professionals. Like I get it. Like they want their lives separate. So they want their cell phone to be their cell phone. And then they want to get like these super important run to the hospital alerts on their pager. I 100% get that. Like that.
And
makes
the pager network
sense.
Is so resilient, right?
Like
Phone network will crash when there's too many people using it. If something happens, something big happens.
Right.
And that's the exact time when you need the doctors to get to the hospital. Yeah. So having them on the pager networks,
that's right.
100% makes sense.
That's so great. The other group that I would never have guessed are bird watchers. And apparently there's a bird watcher pager network that came into existence. And when they saw like a very, very rare bird, they would page people to let them know that there's this rare bird and here's where it is. And these bird watchers are diehard about their pagers, which I thought was hilarious. So also interestingly enough was there's like what 800,000 pagers in existence right now. And it used to be like, 65 million or something like that?
6.6 million in 2004. Yeah. So about 20 years ago, there was 6.6 million. There's about 800,000 now.
Yeah.
For this one company, Spock. S-P-O-K.
Yeah, they're the biggest vendor now.
Yeah. Interesting. I actually have some pager technology in my house right now.
What?
No. You would not believe it.
No.
So here's the interesting thing. I've got this thing called a ambient devices weather station. This thing is probably about 20 years old. I bought it because I actually knew one of the founders of this company. And they made this device. They don't make this device anymore.
Right.
And it's fantastic. It works so well. It works in 151 different metros across the US.
Okay.
So you have to select which metro you're in. It's a little device. The backlight on this changes color based on the temperature outside. So it gives you the temperature, the forecast for the next few days, the date and some other things, but it gets all of its data for free. I've not paid any subscription. I've had this thing for 20 years. I've not paid any more money other than the initial like $150 that I paid to buy it.
Right.
It gets all of its data through the pager network.
That's amazing.
I got to be honest. A couple of times this thing has stopped working and I'm like, oh no. Is it done?
It's all gone.
And then it's come back to life. And I'm like, oh yeah, we're still in it. And this thing just keeps going. I have literally had this. Like we talk about the short lifespan of electronics. We've had this thing for 20 years and it still works. And it still works great. And we look at it all the time. So pager network, keep on going.
All right. So for this next article, before I read it, I'm going to say that like an alternate title of this would be store implements the Sunjay line. And I'll let you explain what that means in a minute. So, because you've got a story related to this.
I do.
To combat loneliness, Dutch supermarket chain has special checkout lane where one can chat with the cashier. So Sunjay, I feel like you have some experience in this area. Would you like to share?
I do. So between high school and college, I worked for the summer at Winn-Dixie.
Yep.
Which I don't think exists anymore, but they used to be a great.
It does.
Do they exist? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got one in Lilburn. Yeah.
I haven't seen a Winn-Dixie in a long
time. I mean, I don't ever go to it, but it exists.
So
it's there.
I was a cashier at Winn-Dixie. And I've got all kinds of crazy stories about Winn-Dixie, but I got to the point where, you know, I'm a chatter. I chat with people. Yeah. Even back then,
I would chat. Oh my gosh. That's an understatement and a half, man. My Lord. You're a chatter.
And so I would chat with customers coming through my line. And I got to the point where I would have people that would come and wait longer in my line, even when there was a cashier that had nobody at them. Just so that they could chit chat with me for, you know, the couple of minutes of the day. And it was quite nice. I enjoyed it. Like for me as a cashier, it made the time go faster. I was like, check in on people like, hey, how's this happening? You know, how are you doing with this? You told me about this last time. And it was quite nice. So I think this is a great thing. Like
this whole
check out yourself and everything else like that. It's like, it's nice when you're in a rush and whatever, but sometimes it's nice just to connect with people. And, you know, we talk about community and building up society and things like that. Like these are the kinds of things, those serendipity little interactions that end up happening that actually maintain the fabric of society. So getting rid of those and making things just more productive, more efficient is not necessarily the best thing ever. So
I agree. Slowing down, talking to people, making human connections is really important. And I'm glad that they're doing it. So it's great.
Tech wreck, tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky, chicky.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us today?
So I have got something that I think you're probably going to jump on to pretty soon after I tell you about it. But I've stumbled upon this app called Omnivore. It's okay. Omnivore.app. So this is a read later app. It is open source. It has just gotten started. But here's the interesting thing. They have an integration with Omnivore with Obsidian. So you can pull in your articles and your highlights that you did in Omnivore into Obsidian, which we've talked about Obsidian before, which is the note-taking app. And so you can do long reads and stuff. You can tag stuff in Omnivore, but then you can have it also available and accessible in Obsidian. And there is a mobile app. The mobile app is still a little rough, at least the Android version is, but it is free right now. And if you are worried about the stuff that you're tagging, you can send PDFs to it and things like that. You can actually self-host this software. It is open source, so you could do it privately. Now, here's the other really kind of interesting feature that Omnivore has. You can get unique email addresses that then you can use to sign up for newsletter subscriptions, which then automatically go into Omnivore.
Oh,
and then as you're reading the articles or the subscriptions, you can archive them, you can tag them, but you can open up links in the newsletters or in other articles that you've saved in there.
Yeah,
you can open in the browser or you can open in Omnivore and it'll add those also into Omnivore.
What? Oh, that
everything is searchable too.
When you started, I was like, you know, I use Pocket, you know, getpocket.com and Pocket, I've used it for years. It integrates. It's actually, I think is it part of Firefox?
It is a part of Firefox. They own it.
So it works really well.
I think they own it.
But now and then you said, you know, it'll go into Obsidian. And I'm like, ooh, that's interesting, but still maybe not a sales point. But then you said the newsletter thing. I'm like, then that may be the game changer.
Right.
So there.
Get those newsletters out of your inbox. Get them into Omnivore.
That's really interesting.
And then be able to search and categorize and do all this.
Really,
I totally stumbled upon this. I don't even remember where I saw it. I think it was on Reddit. Somebody was mentioning it in the Obsidian forum. And I was like, what is this? This is kind of interesting.
That could be awesome. I'm going to check that out. I like that. Okay.
So what about you, Adam? What do you have for us this week?
It's obvious. I mean, like it came out this week. It's the talk of the town. It's the bell of the ball. Yeah, I gotta recommend OpenAI's ChatGPT app for iOS because, I mean, it's ChatGPT in your hand and it's fun to ask ChatGPT things randomly on the run for absolutely no reason. So in so many ways is the end of SEO. I can just ask ChatGPT for a lot of things that I don't need to Google for and then search through stuff and everything else. It's very interesting. So it works great. It works. It's identical to the online experience. Like there's zero difference between it and the online experience. It works fine.
There's a free version of it, but then if you do the paid version, do you get the better GPT-4?
It's exactly the same. So if you pay, like it's the same. Well, you get GPT-4 with the free version. That's actually a confusing thing. So the free version of ChatGPT, you get GPT-4. You do not get beta things like for example, ChatGPT, if you pay for it, has plugins. So for example, if I paid for it $20 a month, there's a plugin that allows ChatGPT to review and summarize YouTube videos. And so it gets really interesting when you start looking at all the things. It'll also do things with PDFs. It'll do all kinds of stuff through plugins. So you just get the basic version, but it's still ChatGPT-4 with the free version. So there you go.
That's interesting.
All right. How can our listeners find and connect with you, Sanjay?
They can find me on my website, sanjayparekh.com. They cannot beat me on my weather station. So don't try to do that.
man. That'd be so awesome, though.
Or you might be able to find me at a supermarket if you want to chat with me, maybe somewhere. But I'm not really a cashier anymore.
You're the dude that walks into, like you leave the family in the car, like, I got to go for 5 minutes into Home Depot. And you come back like 45 minutes, they're like, what happened? Like, I met this dude, and like, we were having this chat, and like, I don't know what to tell you, but I can tell you all about his family. He's got these five kids, and they're named this, this, and this, and this.
It honestly does happen a lot, and the kids kind of make fun of the whole thing of like, oh, yeah, he's doing it again. Dad's talking to some random person about something another.
If you're ever a part of like one of those civic organizations that like meets on a weekly basis, like if it's a 1 hour meeting, you should block off 2.5 hours. So if you join Rotary where you have to go to lunch, like just block off like the whole day. Like just the whole day. Every time.
The whole day.
It's the whole day. It's all gone.
Pack a lunch. So, pack two lunches. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. What about you, Adam? Where can our listeners find you?
Just go to my website, adamjwalker.com. It's got all the things. Sign up for my newsletter because that's the jam. And that's all the stuff.
That is the jam. Jam.